Good evening, everyone. We're going to start the festivities so we can start eating. So we've got an action-packed program tonight. This is Jim Turi, your MC for the evening. I never thought I would do that. The only time I was a DJ before this was when I was in college radio, you know. And, of course, ham radio, that's different. So anyway, we have the head table here, and I just want to describe who's up here. And so you get to know who's here and what's going to happen. So on the far right of the podium is Judy Wilkinson. Now, as you know, she's from the California Council of the, and she's the president of the California Council of the Blind. And maybe I shouldn't do this, but I was so surprised because Holly and I personally met her some years ago at the Oral Hall Adventure Camp. How many of you have been to that? Some of us are getting a little too old for some of the adventures that they do, but it was we went twice, and it was a fantastic experience. In fact, we read about it, and we said, when we move to Washington, we want to go there. And so we did. Judy is here, and of course she was demonstrating the portable treadmills. And I asked my chapter members if they'd seen them, and they're all saying, I want one. Yeah, it was awesome. And so we really enjoyed getting to see those at the exhibits. Now let's see, the next person we have here. Oh, okay. Let's see here. I'm not the fastest Braille reader in the world, so. Okay, we've got Julie Brannon. Nathan Brannon, yeah. Nathan Brannon, okay. And then Julie is here, too. And so they're the dynamic duo. They're just wonderful people, and they've always made us feel so welcome here. Okay. And moving from the right, on the left, then we have, we'll figure it out here, Holly Turi. My lovely wife who keeps me straight. And, of course, I'm Jim Turi, so I'm kind of in between there. Then, to Holly's left, we have the legendary Denise Cully. Yeah. And then, beyond her, we have Katie Frederick. I just want to say a quick word about Katie. The first time I heard her voice was she was being interviewed by Jonathan Mosen about the differences between the two blindness organizations. And as you know, he asks really tough questions, and it's all off the cuff. So you have to be quick on your feet in the thinking. And Katie's answers were so good and so astute. I was just really impressed. So I'm really thrilled that she's here with us tonight. Yep, see if they can give me any more gain. I'll try to holler a little more. So I think that's enough introductions. So we're going to have the invocation presented to us by Sarah Edick Howell.
Hello, good evening, everybody. It's a wonderful evening tonight. Everybody bow, please, and whatever you do to pray. Our Father in heaven, Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this beautiful convention, and thank you for the community that we share and that we are a part of. Thank you for the Washington Council of the Blind and all the decisions that were made in this meeting this evening, this afternoon. Thank you for the fun time, and thank you for the food, and bless this food to our bodies, and bless us as we go home tomorrow. Give us a safe trip in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Can I make an announcement, please? Guys, when we're doing things up here, this microphone is just not any louder than this. So people in the back of the room are not able to hear what's going on. And we really do want people to be able to know what's going on because it's a good banquet. So please, when we're trying to do things up here and introduce people, we really need to lower the volume of the conversation. You need to use your indoor voices, not your outdoor voices. You know, we tell children this all the time. Well, I'm telling you guys, if you want to know what's going on tonight at this banquet, you got to make sure that everybody can hear. So if you could just have a little common courtesy and not talk when there's parts of the program going on, we would greatly appreciate it because we can't. Yeah, I know. I understand that. I understand that perfectly. And that's why we really need you guys to help us out because we can't get any better sound than what we have. We wish we could. All right, sound people, the assistive listening devices are not working.
Hopefully everybody's eating. It's time. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, attention everybody. We're going to start the program in about another 5 minutes. We're going to have the 5-minute stretch here. And we're going to start out with a couple of door prizes. So hopefully you door prize folks are getting pretty much done eating and can come up and do what you need to do. Are the door prize people ready yet?
I am ready.
Okay, listen up, everybody. We're going to have 2 door prizes. Shannon, if you have a chance, you may want to kind of let us know how many you've got.
So I've got 8.
You have 8?
I thought I had 7, but I think I have lost the ability to count, which is why nobody's elected me the treasurer of WCB. So we're going to start out with we're going to do $10 from the King County Council of the Blind and $20 from the United Blind of Seattle, which makes $30. I can count that far. And I put everybody's name back in that won anything from today, so you could win again. All right, well, the winner today, I'm sure he's in the room, Alan Benson. Yep, these are the... So the second door prize, we're going to do $10 from the Peninsula Council of the Blind and $20 from the United Blind of Seattle. Who is my lucky winner? Damien Parra, are you here? Raise your hand. Oh, he's gone? Oh, he went home. All right, so I guess I'll draw another name.
Yes.
Yuki Tamura Veneer?
I don't think she's here.
All right. All right. Linda Wickersham.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about.
All right. We're really happy about that. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, now I want to introduce to you Kim Moberg, the chair of the scholarship committee. And she's going to give us a presentation of the scholarships. And I was at the reception earlier today, and it was an awesome experience listening to the wonderful students that we have. So, Kim, come on up.
Welcome. I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce to you our scholarship winners this year. This year we had 10 very exciting individuals who applied for scholarships. We're presenting 5 awards this year. So let me tell you about each of the scholarship people that we're giving awards to. First is Isaac Hyman. He's from Mukilteo, Washington. He is attending Western Washington University in Bellingham. His major field of study is behavioral neuroscience. He has a minor in Spanish. He has a GPA of 4.0.
Slacker.
By the time he's finished with school, he'll have an MD degree. And he will be receiving a scholarship of $4,500. The next individual is Anna Ott. And Anna is a freshman in college. She is from Issaquah, Washington. She attends Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island. Her major field of study, and I tell you, she had a really interesting letter because she tried to take, and she did it. She took a computer class and a science class at the same time of day. At the same, 10 o'clock. And they went back to back with each other, but because the project in the class helped. She could do one project which would satisfy both classes, so she got the professor to agree to have her do it. So her major field of study is computer science with a minor in cognitive science. Her GPA is a 3.99, and she will be receiving a scholarship of $3,500. Junior is trying to run away. Next, I have Anissa Prudhoe.
To clap for people you don't know, eat a rubber chicken.
Anissa is doing graduate work. She's attending the University of Washington in Seattle. Her major field of study is international studies. Her minor has to do with disability services at the international level. Her GPA is a 3.85. She will receive $3,500. Next, I have Chloe Pearson. She is a freshman. She did Running Start, and she has been homeschooled. And so when she went to college, that was really the first time she's been in a regular classroom. She is from Port Orchard, Washington. She attends Olympic College in Bremerton, Washington. Her major field of study is engineer with a minor in mathematics. Her grade point average is a 4.0. And she will be receiving $3,000. And next we have Angel John Daly. He is he's a senior. He also did Running Start, but he's a senior in college. He is from Puyallup, Washington. He is attending the University of Washington Tacoma campus. His major field of study is child psychology. His GPA is a 3.70. And he will be receiving $3,000. These are the 2019 scholarship recipients. Thank you.
Wasn't that a wonderful presentation? Everybody give another big hand. Well, now I think it's time for a couple of more door prizes.
All right.
And while we're doing the door prizes, if Danette Dixon could make her way up here. She's the chairperson of the awards committee, so she'll be doing a presentation after these two door prizes. Are we doing door prizes again?
Yeah, I need a second.
That's fine. We're doing microphone surgery here.
Okay. I apologize for the delay. We just needed to get myself organized here. So we're going to do the same thing we did earlier. We're going to do $10 from the Peninsula Council of the Blind. And we're going to do, and this is going to be $20 from the United Blind of Seattle. I got two. I got another $30 prize coming up after this. So, Alexa Conley. No, Alexa. Colette Arvidson. So those are those. Okay. Now we got that $10 from the United or from Peninsula Council of the Blind, and I've got $20 from the South King Council of the Blind.
Okay.
My chapter. Deborah Allen, are you in the room?
Who?
Deborah Allen? I'm going to take that as a no. If you don't hear your name, you can't win. Kayla Ludlow, are you in the room? All right, well, we're just going to keep going. Donna Pitcher Oakland for the comedic talent. Are you in there? All right.
So, can I have everybody's attention, please? Okay, can you hear me now? I'm totally standing on my tiptoes. So, this first award is given to the Business of the Week. This is the Business of the Year Award. and it's given to, it's presented to Trader Joe's. Receiving this award is D.K. He's a manager from the Ballard Trader Joe's. And someone nominating this award is nominated by, person nominated is, was Julie Brennan. Now, a little history about Trader Joe's. The first Joe's was started by Joe Kellerman in 1967 in Pasadena, California. To date, there is 497 total Trader Joe's in nationwide. Okay. Thank you, Haley. They're being nominated because of their excellent customer service to blind patrons, something that is experienced statewide by all the Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's employees take pride in their products and their stores and willingly take their time to assist blind patrons with the desire to make sure the customer being assisted know all about the products and a chance to have read all of the information that, about each project that they want, and along with sharing their favorite products. Okay, their excellent customer service is confirming consistent, appreciated, making shopping at Trader Joe's a true shopping experience. DK, can I'll have Denise read the award.
The plaque reads, the Business of the Year Award is presented to Trader Joe's Grocery Stores for their excellent statewide customer service to blind and visually impaired patrons and their willingness to take the time to ensure that those customers have all the necessary information on any product. Denise Colley, President, October 20th. It says 25th, it should say 26th. October 26th, 2019.
Thank you. My name's DK. I'm a manager out there at the store in Ballard. I just want to say on behalf of not only my store, but also for all Trader Joe's that we try to uphold a wow customer experience that doesn't exclude anyone. So I just want to put out to make sure that anytime you come to a Trader Joe's, especially to my store in Ballard, we are happy to take the time to show you around the store, let you know everything that's new, and to also give you every bit of information that we can. That's so cool. I graciously accept this. Thank you so much to Julie, and thank you so much to the Washington Council of the Blind. I really appreciate it.
You know, I would like to also welcome DK's girlfriend, Maddie, to the banquet also. Can we welcome her too? Okay.
I guess you're a frequent stop.
Welcome, Maddie.
Yay.
Yay.
His girlfriend. Oh, yeah. Significant other.
The second award is given to the 2019 Editor's Choice, Editor's Newsline Award is being presented to Carl Jarvis. Yay. Okay. Now, for his article entitled, It Is What You Do With What You Got. This article appeared in winter 2019. In this article, Carl shares a conversation between himself and Winston the cat about spending far too much time missing yesterday and waking up one fine day and realizing we have missed today. Carl, Carl Jarvis, can you make it up here?
He's coming. All right, Carl, the Newsline Editors Award. The 2000 Newsline Editors Award is presented to Carl Jarvis for his excellent portrayal of his conversation with his cat about wasting time, missing yesterday, causing us to miss today. And anybody who can write a cool article like that about a kitty is not all bad. I want to meet Winston.
I just wanted to say this is a surprise to me, so I'm not going to talk. But wait till I write about the horse.
I want to meet Winston.
Okay. Our last award is given to, can I have your attention, please? This is a pretty special one because this person knows nothing, just like Carl did, so he knows nothing. Okay, so this is the award called Outstanding Service to WCB. Okay. Nominated by Frank Cuda. Service awards are often presented to retiring officers or to notable committee chairs who have made significant contributions to our organization. However, we also need to recognize that outstanding service sometimes demonstrates who have no such elevated titles. It is my pleasure this year to nominate for our highest service award an individual who, to my knowledge, has never been an officer nor a committee chair. This individual accepts nothing less than excellence. He is evicted. He says what he means and does and means what he says. Amen. Yes. He has the integrity and honesty that should be a standard for us all. This individual is tremendously focused, working on all year long behind the scenes to maintain our email list structure for the past 12 years. He has been a dedicated volunteer at the library, where he has proofread between 10 and 15,000 pages of Braille. He is the foundation of our convention network streaming project, which is a huge boom to our national presence and encourages statewide and national presence and engagement. This year, it is my honor to recommend for the WCB Astounding Service Award one of our Clarkston refugees, Rick Lewis.
I got passed over again.
I was just about to
One day, tomb.
And the plaque reads, Certificate of Outstanding Service to WCB is presented to Rick Lewis for his tireless work all year long behind the scenes to maintain our email list structure and is the foundation for our convention network streaming project, which is a huge boon to our national presence and encourages statewide and national presence and engagement. Denise Colley, President, October 26, 2019.
Well, she's right about two things. I know nothing. And I am the retiring type. Seriously, thank you so much to WCB. You know, the whole thing wouldn't work without a team effort. And Frank being a major part of that team, he was the team long before I was ever here. And David Edick as well. We all work well together. And it's a pleasure being involved with streaming the convention because not only do we get to pass along what we do to people in Washington State who aren't able to join us, but also people across the country who would like to join us and can do it, in an electronic way rather than a physical presence. And it's great to be able to do that. Thank you very much.
And I want you to know that was a really, really hard secret to keep. I know. If it hadn't been for Deb helping us out, that was a terribly hard secret to keep. Thank you to the awards committee, and thank you, Danette.
Well, what an amazing award that was. So now we need to have two more door prizes. And while we are doing that, if Katie Frederick, if you are ready to do your presentation, we would like you to come up here. And I think we're going to listen to you with rapt attention.
All the names in there.
So door prize committee, take it away.
Here we go. This time we're going to do $40 from Glenn and Ursula McCulley.
Yeah.
They donate quite a bit to the door prize fund every year. And it's super grateful. All right, is Tim McCorkle in the house?
Awesome. Oh. That was so
close. It was so close. He's not in the house.
Oh.
How about James McIntosh? Are you in the house?
Yes, he is.
He is in the house. All right. Yes. Okay. So today, as I was getting ready to leave that wonderful business meeting, Bruce Radke came up to me and said, somebody wants to donate some money, so here's some cash. And so I combined that cash with another, and so now we're going to give away $50 that the people of Whatcom County have donated to us. And your new best friend is going to be Christy Sobieski. Are you in the room? Oh, no. Let's try this again. Harold Quantrill, are you in the room?
Yes, there's a hand raised.
All right. There's that envelope.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Right here beside me is Katie Frederick to give us our banquet address. And I just think we're so privileged to have her here from way across the country. And listening to the job panel earlier today, as a young person, she's had so many experiences already. I can't imagine what her life potential is going to be. So I'm really proud to be able to introduce her. Oh, no. Now, do you want to hold the mic or have it in the stand?
The stand is fine. Okay.
So here is Katie Frederick.
Well, thank you, Jim, for that introduction. My mother might have a problem with you trying to produce me, but thank you nonetheless for the wonderful introduction. It's great to be back with you this evening, WCB. Thank you again for having me. It's been a great convention. I really get the sense of community from this group, and I think that's wonderful and awesome to share and to experience. Tonight, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about how I became involved in ACB and what that has meant to me over the years and how it has impacted my life in ways that I didn't know were possible or couldn't imagine. So I was born 3 months early. I weighed just over a pound at birth, and I have a condition called retinopathy of prematurity. Yeah, all right. I'm not alone. So I had that experience. And, you know, my parents were just, you know, devastated, shocked, weren't sure what to do. But they were connected with an early intervention specialist that helps provide services to children from birth to age 3 in Ohio. And my parents got connected with this woman, and she came to our house and really, you know, worked with me and worked with my parents and really helped my parents understand that, you know, having a child who is blind is okay. You know, I might have to do some things differently, but it's all going to be okay. And my parents, you know, took some time, kind of got over their grief and their shock, and then they raised me just like they raised my brother. So I got in trouble, just like my brother. I was expected to do chores, just like my brother. And I, you know, now that I'm an adult, I cannot thank them enough for teaching me those values and making me participate and do things I didn't always want to do. But without their love and support, I don't think I would be the independent person that I am today. I grew up in a small town in Ohio. My town had about 3,000 people, has about 3,000 people in it. So I went to a small public school. And when I started school, it was around 1990. So there was some major landmark legislation known as the Americans with Disabilities Act that had just been passed before I started school. And so my parents, again, went to the school, and they took a tour of our state school for the blind because they weren't sure what might work best for me. But after they took the tour, they decided that, in my case, they didn't want to send me an hour and a half away from home. They wanted me to grow up, you know, live with them and go to my local school. So that's what worked for us, and that's what I did. I had a very supportive school system that allowed me to have access to teachers for the visually impaired, and I received orientation and mobility training. So I had a very enriched education environment. School wasn't always easy or fun for me, but I know I'm too not alone in that regard. The subject of math to me is a four-letter word, so So I certainly had my trials and tribulations during school, but I know, you know, those were not necessarily blindness related. During high school, during middle school, actually, I had an opportunity to meet some other people who were blind, because growing up in my small town, I didn't know any people who were blind. And I lived in a rural area, so there just wasn't a lot of interaction with others who were blind. So my orientation mobility instructor introduced me to some people he wanted me to meet, and they had guide dogs. So I had my first introduction to a guide dog, and at the time, I did not want a guide dog. I said, no, I don't want that dog. It's going to lick me. Ew. I don't want a dog. I want nothing to do with this. So I was about 13 or 14 at the time, and I was a good cane traveler. I had good cane skills. I could get around very well, but I just did not think I wanted to have a guide dog. But I talked to some more people and, you know, researched it a little bit more, and had a friend who lived kind of near me receive a guide dog, and I had the chance to go have lunch with her one day, and she said, let's go for a walk. So we started out on this walk, and she's, you know, about a block ahead of me with her guide dog, and I'm trailing behind with my cane, and I said, wait, maybe there's something to this guide dog thing after all. And so I, at the age of 16, applied to Guide Dogs for the Blind, yay GDB, and I received my first guide dog on July 4th, 2016. So that was my true Independence Day. And I'm now on my third guide dog. So I do like this. There's something to this guide dog lifestyle for me, anyway. but you know, for me, getting a guide dog really helped me become more confident, more independent, and it really kind of got me out of my shell. Some of you may not believe it or know it, but I used to be really, really shy. I know, yes, you can laugh, it's fine. I used to be very shy, but getting my dog and then going off to college with her really changed my interactions and just my ability to really get out there and get to know people. So I graduated high school, and my parents had a rule that said, okay, we want you to go to college, but you can go, we'd like you to go to a state college, and we'd prefer that it not be more than 2 hours away, because in Ohio, we don't have great transportation, so they would be the ones doing a lot of the driving. So what does their independent daughter do? She picks a state college that's 2 hours away. So I attended Wright State University in Dayton, Ohio, and received my degree in communications. And it was during the time that I was applying for college that I, of course, like the fabulous scholarship winners tonight, let's hear it for our scholarship winners. So I was applying to college, and of course, I was looking for scholarships. And I stumbled across this organization called the American Council of the Blind of Ohio. And I thought, who are they? What are they up? What are they doing? They have a scholarship. Maybe I should apply for that. So I called at the time, because we had dial-up internet, and I was not about to surf the web on that. So I gave them a call, and I found out that I missed the scholarship deadline for that year. But I got to chat with the executive director, and I said, you know, who are you? What do you do? And he told me that they also have, in addition to the college scholarships, the Ohio affiliate also awarded a stipend for a first-timer to attend an ACB national convention. And I said, oh, well, that's interesting, but, you know, I'm not really involved with the council. I'm kind of familiar with the American Council. I know that I've read the publications of both consumer groups, and I tend to agree more with ACB's philosophy. And so I'd like to learn more. So when I got to Dayton and started college, I found out there was a local chapter near me. And I contacted the chapter person and said, I'd love to get more involved. Is this possible? And of course, they said, sure. So I began attending local meetings in the Dayton chapter. And I really got to know some other people who were blind, which I hadn't done before. And so that was a great experience for me. And as I became more involved with the local chapter and met more people, I was again reminded about the upcoming stipend available through the Ohio affiliate to attend a national convention. So I thought, well, what do I have to lose? I'm going to apply. This sounds like fun. I get to travel. I get to go somewhere new and meet a bunch of people and be away from home for a week in the summer. This is going to be great. So I applied for the affiliate stipend and I received it. So my first ACB national convention that I attended was in Birmingham, Alabama during the summer of 2004. And that was really my first introduction to ACB. And that was quite a time in ACB's history when a lot was going on within the organization. But it was really a remarkable experience and a great time to get involved. And through my attendance there, I met some students. I was involved in what was then known as the National Alliance of Blind Students, or NABS. I met some wonderful other leaders and students who I consider friends today. So the student community of ACB and many members of ACB who I'm still friends with today outside of the student group really embraced me and really took me under their wing and really helped me feel a part of the community. As part of my experience attending the national convention, I had to report back to my Ohio affiliate. So I had the opportunity to attend the Ohio affiliate convention in the fall of 2004 and report about my experiences. And I, through that experience, got to meet more people from my Ohio affiliate. And when I arrived at the convention, I said, what can I do? Is there work? You know, can I put me to work? And so they did. I got to stuff goodie bags and help out with putting our meal packets together and tickets and things. And so it was, but again, it gave me a chance to volunteer and to help. And I helped out some with our registration desk and just really wanted to be a part of the organization that gave me such an amazing opportunity. So in 2004, I was in my college career, and so I didn't have a lot of time at that time to devote to ACB and its activities, but I got involved a little bit at the national level with the students and helped out with some projects there. I also kept active with my Ohio affiliate and the local chapter and attended Ohio conventions over the next several years. And in 2007, I was elected to the Ohio Board of Directors. So I served on the board for several years and then was elected secretary, which is a job that everyone is just clamoring for. Not, but I served as our affiliate secretary. And again, all of these experiences really helped me grow as a person. And as I began to get more involved with the affiliate, I really was able to kind of, you know, grow up in the affiliate. I can relate to what Mika said earlier when she said, you know, she really has grown up in this WCB community. And I, too, have grown up in my Ohio community of ACB members. And so it's really great to feel such a part of a wonderful ACB family who gets it, who knows what we're going through, who, you know, even though we have great legislation like the ADA, we're still needing to advocate, right? We're still needing to put our fighting helmets on and get out there and make sure that we have accessibility. Yes. So we still need to support each other and come together as a community to make these things happen. So I served on the board of my affiliate for several years, and then, as I mentioned earlier in the employment panel, I decided to apply for the executive director of the Ohio affiliate. And again, that was a great experience for me, and it really, there was also, you know, a lot of pressure. I wanted to do well and help the affiliate grow and things like that. And so, but I really was so pleased that my affiliate and its members trusted me and had the confidence in me to allow me to serve in such a leadership role. I held that position for about 4 years, and it really was a tremendous experience and great opportunity for me. During that time, I started attending national conventions again. I did not attend a lot during college because of finances and travel and other things. So I started attending the national convention again in about 2011. I'd been away for several years, but I went to Reno in 2011, and my poor guide dog was sick the whole week. That's awful. but that was a great convention. It was great to reconnect, and you know, thanks to ACB Radio, I had listened to previous year's conventions when I couldn't attend. So that was a really valuable resource for me, but it was great to be back in the national convention scene. I attended the convention in Louisville, and then in 2013, you all came to Columbus, or a lot of you did, for the ACB National Convention that took place that year. And I served on the host committee, and that was a lot of fun putting that all together for everyone. But in 2014, I heard that there was an opening on the ACB National Board of Directors. And I thought, wow, that sounds like a really interesting opportunity. I want to learn more about that. I wonder if I could join that group. And I talked to some people, and I said, you know, I'm interested in being considered for this position. Would it be possible to get nominated? And I did receive the nomination, and I was elected to ACB's board in 2014. Yes. And so I'm now serving my second term on the board, and it's again a tremendous experience to be able to impact the lives of people who are blind or visually impaired every day. And being a board member is a significant responsibility, but it really comes with such tremendous opportunities, like getting to travel to different conferences, connecting with ACB members across the country. And, you know, I know that I've talked to many of you. I know we have a lot of first-timers. How many first-timers are here tonight? All right. Yes. So this is great. So again, if this is your first convention, if it's your 30th convention, right, it's great to come together. It's great to meet new people. Isn't it great to have a community where we may not always agree, but we support? And so I have had the opportunity to, you know, through my life experiences, through the support and love of my family, and through my own perseverance, and as someone call it, stubbornness, I prefer to say independence, I have been blessed to have had many experiences, met many friends, and I know that my experience will continue as I move forward down this path. And I want to, again, just encourage people to come together, to to learn from one another, to support each other. Because why? We are a community. Thank you, WCB.
All right. Well, we're going to have a couple of raffles in a minute. But we need some lead up. So we need two more door prizes while the Kitsap raffle folks are making their way, and GDWS.
Okay.
So we'll do Kitsap and GDWS, so get ready, folks.
Well, as it happens, I do have two more door prizes. And you might be noticing that the monetary value of these keeps going up. That's because that's my math skills right there. Gun in for your job someday, Lisa. No. So we're going to give away $60. $60 from my chapter, the South King Council of the Blind. And before I draw out this name, I just want to thank everybody that's helped with the door prizes. Lori for gathering them for me. Bruce and Carolyn and Deja over here for helping me with some eyeballs. Devin from Iro when we needed to. Mika for waiting while I freaked out for a few minutes took her a little bit longer because of me before she could go to put her raffle tickets in. Just been really wonderful. I really appreciate the help. All right. Jim Hollis. Is he not here? Is he? Okay. Okay, let's try this. Let's try another one. Well, I know he's in the room. How about Rick Lewis? Okay. The final door prize. The one you've all been waiting for, and it gets to come with the one paperclip that I have been given this whole entire convention. So, I'm just going to throw that in for free because I'm a giving person like that. This is going to be $100. Is that one large? I don't remember how that works. And this is all from from our host chapter, the Pierce County Association for the Blind. Maria Buchinska? I must have pronounced that right. All right, those are your door prizes.
Well, thank you so much for all that door prize goodness. Such door prize goodness. And are the Kitsap County folks here yet? We're going to have the folks that are doing the raffle for Kitsap County. Are you guys here? South Kitsap. Sorry about that. Well, what is it they say? Come on down. There's a podium right up here.
So those that bought tickets from South Kitsap for the Blind, 50-50 raffle. So they are the tickets that are red. Some might be yellow because Thursday we went through some of them pretty quick. And The amount is $71.
Irish
so there are some that were sold Thursday night that were yellow. And then, but the rest are red. This is for SKCB.
Okay, last four digits is 0492. And it says on the back side is Rex. Okay, so hang on. I need to go get that. Okay.
Donnie.
I will run this back.
Okay. Okay, and then for the other one are the green tickets. There is a $25 C's gift card. Ooh. And then I will draw another ticket for the 50 Starbucks gift card. And they are the green tickets. The green ones. I'm doing the C's candy one first.
So this is number 77. 15. Arnold. K-A. Okay.
So which one is that
one? That's going to be this one. Okay. You're doing the candy, right?
Yes,
I think my chances are pretty low on this one because I didn't play.
Yeah, me neither.
Hand up.
And then I'm going to draw for the 50 Starbucks.
7701. And no name. 7701.
Oh, that goes to Kim.
All right.
Kim, here we go.
That doesn't make sense.
So I guess it's time now for the guide dogs raffle.
Guide dog users of Washington State had a 50-50 raffle this weekend here. And the total portion to the winner is $72.50. And I'm going to have, they're just in numbers. They're a green ticket. The number on the ticket is 155221.
Yay!
Somebody got it? Thank you.
Lisa George, it's your time to shine. And then after the auctions, after announcing the auction winners, we're going to have a special video.
All right. Can I have your attention, please? It would help if we knew these things ahead of time. All right. This morning, or yesterday, Cindy was talking about how, actually today when we were doing elections, Cindy was talking about how Haley Eggers is a person who really puts action behind what she does. And one of the things that Haley really showed us this year, both in her work with WCB families and the youth conference and some of the other things she's done, is that sometimes all you have to do is reach out and ask. You don't know what kind of response you're going to get. You just ask. How many people here know who the two blind brothers are? Yeah. And they have a clothing line, and a percent, I don't quite remember all the details, but I know that their clothing is made, a portion of the clothing is made out of bamboo. And they couldn't be with us tonight because, of course, they're not right here in our state. But we had a video that we wanted to show. The video part isn't working, so we are just going to play the audio. And once the audio is complete, we have a special gift for all of you. So let's hear the audio. All right, Colette, if you could make your way up here.
It's pretty cool how she volunteered another human being.
She is. I like that. I like the way this woman thinks. Ah, but your family still loves you.
Because you send me away for a weekend every year.
All right. While they're trying to get the audio to play, we're going to describe to you. Colette's going to do some audio description. See, Colette knows how to do this because she took the class from Joel. And anybody who takes a class from Joel Snyder really knows how to do this. So she is going to describe to you the little special gift that we have for all of you.
Except for Jeff.
Okay, so what they wanted to provide is socks for everyone. And these are very soft socks. They're also very colorful. So there are two types of socks. You know those socks that you don't hardly show anything other than it goes around your foot and they don't go up your ankles? Okay, so we have those as well as crew socks, which will come up your ankles. The main color on these is a dark gray. However, on the little socks, the smaller ones, the yellow heel, bright yellow heel, and bright yellow toes. And they, of course, right at the front of the toe, if you were looking down, you would see, if you could see, the words, the colors. It has a 2, capital B, capital B, which is part of their logo, 2 blind brothers. And then in the very center, this may say something in Braille that I cannot read, but it's not bumpy enough for me to tell. But there's about an inch worth of Braille dots that go all the way around, right about the ball of your foot. So you can have those, or the other ones, the crew socks, in addition to that, up the nice ribbed part covering your ankles, you have 2 yellow stripes, about an inch from the top, and again, the 2 BB for 2 blind brothers. Hopefully you're going to be able to hear a little bit about these guys, but if you didn't know, I'll wait. If David Edick waves at me, I'll shut up. But I don't see a wave yet. Yeah, they're just a little bit of a piece. But yeah, it's very, very soft and very comfortable. One of their main themes is tested. And tested by, I'm trying to remember that, tested by blind and approved by the brothers. But these guys, they're 2 young men who were both born with Starsgard, which is, you know, the early onset macular degeneration, or early juvenile macular degeneration. And they decided they needed to do something with their lives, and they started this online business of clothing that they wanted to be able to really feel and experience as best as possible. And they give their profits to vision research. So these, and they are full of energy, full of excitement, and we're hoping that we can hear the video. I hear, see David with his mouth near the mic.
Can I get a sighted assistant? Sorry.
So we're trying to get the socks out to everyone. If anyone has not yet gotten a pair of socks, raise your hands and we will bring you.
Hey, it's Brian from 2 Blind Brothers. We wanted to send out a special message to the Washington Council for the Blind. We feel so fortunate that, you know, our project has allowed us to get in touch with great organizations like you all. The other day, somebody asked us about our clothing brand, 2 Blind Brothers, and what we attributed some of its success to. We realized in that moment that our experience growing up with our eye condition actually trained us quite well for running this project. And it's reinforced to us over and over again, your greatest challenges can sometimes become your greatest gifts.
Embrace your blindness. Don't let it dictate your life. Don't let it determine who you are. By being at this event, you are making that step. Brad and I are so thrilled and honored to be able to give you a message today and go out there and conquer the world.
And Haley, where are they out of?
They are in New York.
They're in New York.
And they both, I think, around seven.
They both what?
They cannot hear you. Quiet. How long forward will take you up there?
They both what, Haley?
I think from about the age of 7 is when they really started seeing the impact of Star Guards for them. And they said it's, you know, I talked to them on the phone and asked, you know, what, you know, how has it been for them growing up? And they said the greatest benefit of having a brother with the same, you know, condition is that you're never alone. That they always have someone who understands.
I'll repeat it. So they both have Stargardt's disease, and they found out at about age 7 that they had it. And she was saying that what they said was that in both brothers having the same eye condition, they came to realize that they were not alone. And in beginning to create this clothing line and in their work, that what they came to realize and what they hope that people who are blind will realize that we're not alone. You know, we always have people. We always have this sense of community, and we're never alone. And that's the message that they wanted to send. And they are out of New York.
They probably, between the socks and the clothes and the gift cards, they probably donated about $3,000 to us.
Yeah, about $3,000 to us they donated.
That's cool.
Thank you. Wow. Okay, before I turn the microphone over to Lisa to do the raffle, the silent auction and the raffle, Lori, were there just the two life members? Okay, and have they already gotten their heart?
Yes.
All right. I just want to take this opportunity to, we like to do this every year. We like to tell you who our newest life members are. This year's newest life members are Mike Magers from the Peninsula Council of the Blind.
Hi.
And Jim McIntosh from King County. So welcome both of you to the WCB Life members family, and it was awesome to have Jim at the reception last night, and being a life member is an awesome thing, and it's an awesome responsibility, but it's a great thing to be able to do, so we hope more of you will be able to join us in the next year. I didn't know about that one. That's why I said, was it just the two? So who is it? Jeff Schwartz from, and Judy Brown. Judy from Seattle.
Wow. Woo! From the pool table.
And Jeff is from Seattle, but not a part of a chapter yet. He's going to be a member at large. One of the things, I'm going to tell you guys something. That's probably one of the last things I do as president, because I've really wanted to do this for a long time. And Julie and I have talked about this in her role as chair of the membership committee. You know, what am I trying to say? Members at large are members who are not a part of a local chapter, but they are just as important to our organization. And sometimes they can feel sort of disenfranchised because it's like we don't really belong to anything. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what's happening. So our plan this next year is to really start working with our members at large, having some times when we can having some structured conversation with them, some structured training, doing some Zoom activities with them, and really building up our members at large community, because you guys are just as important to us. And while we'd like to pull you into chapters, we know that's not always what we can do, or you might live somewhere where there really isn't a regular chapter, but
we're going to really try to get some activities going for our members at large so that you are really more a part of our WCB community. So at this point, I will turn it over to Lisa to give us the names of all the winners. Name tags. If you are not going to hospitality, you can leave your name tags on your table. Carol Brame is going to pick them up. If you're coming to hospitality, please wear your name tag and they'll be collected there.
Okay. Today, it's a glass half full, glass half empty kind of a day. Because we did not sell all 500 of our tickets. So our total for the fundraiser is going to be lower than last year. But the half full part is that means the 305 people who bought tickets have a better chance of winning one of the 10. So the lovely Julie Brandon is going to help me pick the 10 raffle winners. So I'm going to take what's in the box and each one by one, put them in a bag, shake them up, and she's going to draw one and I'll announce it. So I'm going to go through all of them. Then I'll go through the listing of the silent auction items. When I'm done with everything, you can head next door to the Grand 2 Ballroom where all that stuff was, and Kim is there ready to take your money for the auction items or for you to pick up your raffle item. Okay? Everybody, you saw what happened. Yes. I dumped it into the bag. I shook it up. I let her pick, and she picked my number. So... sorry about that. All right. So I'll get that later, Kim. What did you get? Oh, I was supposed to do that. Always in raffle item number one will be two nights at next year's convention hotel and the restaurant coupon. So, yeah, glass is full. Okay, number two is the... 2-in-1 around the neck Bluetooth headset that was donated by Rhonda Nelson, who was last year's number one winner. And that is number 57, Sarah Edick.
Go okay. Sarah.
All right. Okay, number three, Seahawks Fan Fest with the Russell Wilson football. Number 140, Julie Miller. They do not have to be here. She's going to win it. I'm going to get with her.
The quarterback signed it.
Again, you're going to pick it up in Grand 2 after I'm done with everything, okay? Okay, so this one was number 4. It was a basket that had two bottles of wine in it and some spa products. Number 36, Young Choi.
Yay! I
had Tom. What?
Okay, so number 5 is the family night that had all the games and all the candy. And I see what some of you did, crumpling them up and folding them. But she's going to pick the winner. A non-crumble number 1, Anita Boss. Number 1. Thank you for being the first ticket purchase. Number 6 was something for everyone. It had a $50 Walmart card, and it had... compact from Dan Lovell, and it had some Canadian goodies that Josette Kernahan brought down from Canada. Number 28, Cindy Van Winkle. Okay, this is one that I actually have. It's the Pacific Science Center Family Pass for 4. So if you win this one, come on up here, and I'll give you your prize. 222, Christy Youssef. Ooh. Is she in here?
She doesn't have to be. The applause is, like, so slow. All right.
Okay, number 8 was the Essentially For You basket that had all of the smelly stuff, the good smelly stuff. Number 3, Susie Glad.
Wow.
Yay, see, if you buy it early. So number 9 was the Alexa times 3. There's a lot of tickets in this one, so I'm going to shake it while I talk. And Julie's going to pick one, and it's going to be a really lucky person. All right, somebody. 224. That would be Carol or Chris Brame.
Oh, wow. Oh, you're so
close.
What
was your number?
It could have been you.
What was your number?
I don't know which one of you are going to get it, but there's stuff to split. All right, number 10 had quite a few in there too. This was the talking extravaganza, all the talking products, the scale and all that stuff. 274, Julie Harlow. Okay, so everybody who won a raffle item, when this is over, when I'm done with all of the silent auction listings, you can go next door and get your prize. But there's more. So we had 45 auction. Well, I had 45 numbers, but we didn't really. There were some that were missing. So it's 40 or so auction items. So thank you again to everybody who donated to our fundraiser, because it makes a big difference donating. And then also most of the people who donated come in and bid on things too. So we had item number 11 and item number 12 were Braille cookbooks. And that went to Becky Bell.
Yay, Becky. Oh,
she got both of those.
I'm glad I didn't.
So I'm going to have to be mailing her a lot of Braille.
And that's why there's why your table.
Item number 13, the Boeing gift set that was donated by Cindy Van Winkle. That went to Craig Phillips. And these items you're going to pay for next door when I get done. Item 14 was some ladies' accessories, and that was Dan Lovell. I think he's still here. Item 16, the Lighthouse Treasures, was J.R. Kinnison. 17, the Cooking Extravaganza, Arnie Kammeyer. Arnold. Number 18, Cozy Up in Bed, went to Colette Arvidsson. Number 19, the Charawhite computer stylist that was donated by Dan Lovell, went to Carol Brame, who beat me out. Number 20, the Big Leaf Maple computer stylist was Haley Eggers. Number 21, the Mini Bolt action rifle pen went to me because I beat somebody else out by a dollar. That was the one perk of having to stay in there right up until 7 o'clock. Executive pen, item number 22, went to Bruce Radke.
Yay!
Number 23, the homemade holiday whipped shortbread that Josette donated, went to Rita Dillick. Number 24, just for the ladies, I forget what it was in there. Rhonda Nelson got that, number 24. Number 25, the homemade dark chocolate fudge was Michael Alvarez. Number 26, the homemade dark chocolate walnut fudge was Kathy O'Neill. 27, a box of Purdy's chocolates and something to color went to Christy Youssef. Christy Youssef. Well, nobody has to be in the room. I mean, you got to come pay for it. I got to track you down, and I will track you down. Number 28, a very Seahawks Christmas, Cindy Van Winkle. I knew she was waiting for it, so I thought I'd... number 29, the Braille bracelet, is also Christy Youssef. She's paying for a lot of those, so it wasn't free winning. Okay, number 30, for the techie in you was Julie Harlow. Number 31, I'm really sorry I couldn't read your writing. So, Sharon? Shireen, you got that. So, you got that. Okay. Number 32 was a jewelry set that Rita Dillick got. Number 33, the Starbucks basket, Sarah Edict, was the high bidder on that one. 34, I'm pretty sure Holly already knows she got that one. She was our high bidder today, $80 for that one. Ooh. Holly Kazmarski. Number 35 was a homemade banana bread for Michael Alvarez. Number 36, the homemade blackberry pie, Andy Bacon. Number 37, the peach pie, Dan Lovell. Number 38, the rhubarb pie. Shit, whatever your name is. Oh, sorry, Yeah, you got that one too. Number 39, the homemade brownies and the homemade brownie cupcakes. Josette, you were still the high bidder on those. Number 41, the homemade banana bread in the ring mold, Judy Wilkinson. Number 42, the small blue jeans tote and the crocheted lady shawl that went to Dina Pearl Shomes. Okay. And then number 44, the green dyed shell wide stretch bracelet and crocheted lady's poncho went to Denise Colley. Yay! And the last one, the copper cuff bracelet and the crocheted lady's poncho, Carol Brain. So thank you again, everybody, for donating. It really does help WCB. Thank you.